running my house for years.
Oh,
I
probably
40, 39, something like that. I'd like to cut one down.
Now that you're here, we're going to start this meeting.
I can't believe you haven't started. That's late for you.
He said we can't do nothing until John gets
here. You've been waiting 3 minutes.
That's exactly what was said.
Well, hey, so let's go ahead and get started. I'd like to welcome everybody out here tonight to the Daniel Town Council meeting, Monday, February 3rd, 2025 at 6 o'clock p.m. The Wasatch County Service Building, Conference Room B, 55 South, 500 East, Heber City, Utah. Like I say, we welcome you all here tonight. So we'll go to agenda item number one, which is public comment. Anybody have any public comment that they want to bring before us?
I just want to know who you're betting on in the Super Bowl.
Hey,
I'll tell you exactly.
Agenda item seven.
Well, that's a change of agenda, but you know the lion. The lion at Hogle Zoo picked the Eagles.
Serious.
Oh, wow. So I'm going with the Eagles.
Well, then, there you go.
You can go online and check that out
after,
for sure.
After me, we can have a discussion with
that's
this.
Nice. See how you want right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, hey, so we'll no public comments, so we'll go to agenda item number two. And tonight we have Spencer Foster here with us from MAG LLA, and he's got a little presentation for us. And we're going to turn the time over to you, Spencer, and just come on up here and go right ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the invitation to come out here and be with you tonight, Mayor and Council. I've been with MAG for about 8 months now and running this program, the Local Administrative Advisor Program. So I just wanted to come in and tell you a little bit about it and let you know how we can help. And how we've been helping other communities around you. And I think it's a good opportunity for Daniel to get some extra things, projects going. And, we've already helped you a little bit, and I'll explain what we've done to help you. And then, yeah, we'll go from there. But yeah, so like I said, I've been with MAG for about 8 months. I have worked in the public sector, so with city government for about 12 years, anywhere from working in a court to working in a budget office, also doing events and communications and all sorts of things. So I have seen a lot of different things in cities and towns, and hopefully I can be of help to you as you need some assistance from MAG. But let me tell you a little bit about the program. So in 2023, the legislature and ULCT, Utah League of Cities and Towns, so they noticed that there's 150 small cities and towns that have really limited resources, really limited staff, and every year the legislature is throwing new things at you. They're changing ordinances, changing code, and so ULCT went to the legislature and said, hey, we need to help these small towns because there's just so much happening and we're throwing so many things at them. Let's get them some help. Let's put some funding out there and make it so that we can help them with projects. And so that's how the Local Administrative Advisor Program was born, the LAA program. And they put aside funding from the state to go to the Association of Governments. And so there's 13 LAAs throughout the state. And I'm the LAA for MAG. So I cover Utah County, Wasatch County, and Summit County. And I help 19 cities and towns throughout those three counties with all sorts of projects. So on your handout I gave you, there's a list of projects that we've kind of helped with. That's a short list. We've helped with probably four times as many projects since I put this list on here. Just with different codes, ordinances, policies, all sorts of things, trainings. Today I just helped a new town that's incorporating called Spring Lake in southern Utah County. I helped them get their .gov website up and running. So just anything from simple projects to more intense projects, we can help with. And you don't pay us anything. The state has funded this program so that we can help you as kind of like a contracted employee that's paid for by the state. So as long as I have the bandwidth to help you and I have some availability, which I make towns with population of less than 5,000 a higher priority than the ones that have more because they have more staff. So I've helped with all sorts of things. The help that I've given you already so far is there's a program called the TAG program that MAG runs, and they offer funding assistance for technical things like your general plan, your just all sorts of planning kind of related projects. And the person who runs that program came to me and said, hey, some of your LAA communities maybe could use an update for their general plan. And so I reached out to the mayor and a few other mayors around, and we said, hey, is anyone interested in updating their general plan and paying a minimal amount, a minimal match amount, so that we can do something good for you guys. And so Daniel, Charleston, and Hennifer all are doing a general plan update, and I went back and forth with MAG to make that possible. So that's just one type of project we can help with, grant funding. Today I also put together an annexation policy plan for Elkridge. So Southern Utah County, they wanted to put something together just in case there's property in their or close by their boundaries that says, that comes with a petition saying, hey, we want to annex into Elkridge. So we did that. And they're going to take that before their planning commission on Thursday. So just all sorts of projects that we can help you with. If you look on the bottom of the sheet, it says, how do we request assistance? I haven't even really been following this. An email from mayor will suffice. If there's a project that you see that you would like to do, you can email me and you can ask for help, and I can be available to help you, whether it's training or a big project or anything that you think that you would like some help with. And then this QR code at the bottom right of the handout, that goes to our website, or you can just go to our website, which is www.magutah.gov with a /LAA, and it'll tell you all sorts of things. One of the things that we made sure that we put on our website is a bunch of templates and resources. So if you just need a quick template for something, you can scroll down to the bottom of our website and you can pull up an ADU ordinance or we have training resources on there for budgeting or Open Meetings Act that you'd all have to do every year. Or you can ask me to come in and I'll do a presentation for you. So we have all sorts of things that we can help you with. That's a little bit about the program, about me, and how we've helped so far. Do you have any questions for me about the program or about anything else?
Where'd you get this picture of Daniel at?
From your reporter.
I don't know we have anything that looks like that in our town.
Yeah.
I was actually looking at that too. Not that it makes a big deal, but I'd love to see where that was.
Yeah.
So Yeah, I put that on there because we were talking about the tag program. That
helped
to get funny. So, and if that's not Daniel, then
well,
we need to take that off.
I didn't recognize that at all. So.
Yeah, so.
That's all right. Normally when you look at Daniel, you get a shot like this one that you like got on Charleston with a deer creek in the background.
Yeah.
But no, that's no big deal. I've talked with you a little bit. I've received emails from you, and I know you and I have communicated back and forth just a little bit, and so I really don't have any questions. Any of you guys got any questions or anything?
You don't delve with any legal issues at all?
Depends on what it is.
Oh.
I try and stay out of anything that will put liability on MAG.
Okay.
So it depends on what it is. If there's some advice that you may just need simple advice, then I can help with that. But if it's something that would require more legal expertise, then I probably involve your town attorney.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. But I have been helping with some things related to legal issues in another town, and I've been working with the attorney and the town.
Yeah, when you said something about the land, developments or something like that,
So. Yeah, on occasion we can help with more difficult things if you need it, but usually we push it toward the attorney.
Okay.
You mentioned you have some templates or some model ordinances. Things like that we can use as a starting point. For example, we're going through some issues trying to better understand how to condominiumize a building.
Okay.
I'd really be interested to know if other communities are dealing with this and how they've dealt with it, and those kinds of things that sometimes are, like say, outside maybe our expertise or whatever. Where would we go to see the list of model types
of the resources we have already? You can go to our website and scroll to the bottom. If there is another template that, like you said, condominiumize a building, that's something we probably don't have on there yet. But I always say in my newsletters, if there's another template that you want on there, let me know, and I can put that.
Well, even as you go around and visit with other communities, or if you have a newsletter that goes out, or if you have just some type of an open forum where you can bring up community A is looking at information on this. Does anybody out there have a model ordinance, or have you gone through anything like this in this particular way? Again, speaking for myself, I mean, we want to minimize the amount of time we have to spend with attorneys to draw ordinances. And if there's an ordinance that's already been tried and true if we can take advantage of some of that kind of stuff.
Right. Just an example for you is Goshen. They wanted an accessory dwelling unit ordinance. And so
we're pretty close to
we didn't have a template for them, so we created it. And we put that on our website. And then Wallsburg just asked for an ordinance for the same thing. So something like that, if there's an ordinance that we see other people are needing, we'll throw it up there. And
How communities are handling Airbnbs and ancillary dwelling units and other kinds of things like that. I would spend time reading all of that if there was a kind of a library that had been put together of stuff that deals with things that we just don't have to go out and create it from ground zero.
Yeah, you don't want to have to reinvent the wheel. But yeah, that's what we're trying to do with our resources on our website, is try and give you guys as many resources as you can in case you just want something quick and you don't want to have me do a whole new ordinance for you. there could be a template on there that you could benefit from. So, and if there's ones, like you said, like condominiumized building,
what do you got?
I can work on something like that, and I can talk to other towns.
Communities have already been through it.
Exactly.
And then they found out after the fact, oh my gosh, look for this, look for that, and make sure you force the owner to, you know, to dot the I's and cross the T's or whatever. I don't know. But, when you come across something like that, it's not something that just happens that often, but you'd sure like to know you're on solid ground if you're.
Right. Well, we did that with an economic development agreement template as well. So we're just going to throw up everything that we can put on there and do what you're kind of talking about.
Anybody else got any questions? Okay.
Spencer, will you bring them up to speed on the general plan that we're involved with?
So we submitted for the program, the TAG program, and the awards will be announced at the end of the month. It should be at the end of February. I don't see any reason why they wouldn't accept the project that we applied for, because they were the ones who came and asked us to apply for it. And so I've seen the scoring list, and the project scored high above a lot of others. And so we just need the final word from MAG saying that we're going to do it. And then the TAG program coordinator, Dan Wayne, will reach out to all of those who ended up being approved to receive funding.
How much money is in the pot?
So for this project itself, I think that it's $150,000.
And is that annual?
And it's just for the one project.
One project. So,
so
it is going to be renewed year after year, or is it just going to?
No, it's just for the general plan update.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so it's a one-time thing. So once that general plan is done and all that money has been funneled to the consultant who's going to do it, then that would be done. That project would be done. Wouldn't be ongoing funding.
Well, I guess what I'm asking is, where did that money come? Did the legislature appropriate a pot of money for basically carry
on? So MAG, yes. Or the MAG? State,
okay.
The state gave funding to MAG for technical assistance to governments.
And MAG opens it up, and how much money was in that pot
originally? $2 million.
Okay. And is that going to be happening each year, or is it just?
Yes.
Okay, so each year we'll be able to apply for projects.
Exactly.
Okay.
So there's always a chance that you can apply for another project down the road next year.
Great.
So if you wanted more technical assistance, then that would be something.
Is that funding from the state? Is that a year by year basis, or is that every so?
Yeah, it's a yearly allotment of.
Yearly allotment. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So it can go away.
It can if the legislature decides they don't want to fund the program anymore. But they funded it for 3 years, 4 years in a row, given $2 million each year. So I don't see why they would stop at this point. But things always change. You never know. My program could get done away with.
Right.
But that's an ongoing thing as well.
Well, I didn't know if it was a 2 year thing or 5 year thing, but it's a yearly basis.
Yeah, but we should hear the final confirmation by the end of the month. We applied for the three cities for $150,000. The match for each one would be $5,000 to $10,000. So it's a whole lot of money for you guys for a minimal amount.
Gosh, the mayor's gonna have to take a salary cut.
Yeah.
Either that or get demoted.
Go negative.
Yeah, you can run in the black and the red for a while.
Oh, that's funny. Well, Spencer, we appreciate your time and appreciate you coming up here and answering our questions. And it was good to update the council kind of on where we're at and what we're looking at. And appreciate you coming up tonight and spending your time away from your family and helping us out.
Yeah, of course. Anytime. And if there's any other projects you need help with, let me know. We're training, so I can come and do some trainings at a council meeting.
Okay.
Take care of some of those things for you.
All righty.
I got one more question. So on the funding, when you become eligible for it and you get it, is it always a percentage of the amount of the funding that matches?
It's a 6.77% match generally.
Generally? Okay.
This one, the MAG asked for a tiny bit higher than that so that we could for sure accept the project.
Okay.
I think that 150,000 was the ask, and then 15,000 was the minimum total, 30,000 was the most. So whatever the math comes out to be on
that.
So
yeah.
Yeah.
All righty. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're very welcome.
And you're free to go whenever you want.
Okay.
No sense hanging out if you don't want to. So
does that seem like a lot of money to update our general plan?
Yeah.
It does to me.
Yeah.
But you got to realize who's doing it.
It's going to be a pretty professional general plan.
Yeah.
A lot of the towns that I've been helping with their general plans recently, their planning commissions have written them. There's no maps in them. There's like, it's really, really simple. This one, they'll take care of everything, go through the public engagement process, go through the maps, use GIS to put everything in there. It'll be pretty comprehensive. So, and they'll work with all the other stakeholders like the county, UTA, UDOT probably, a bunch of other people that will be involved.
Well, yeah, because you would have to, it would have to be agreeable with, in our case, would have to be agreeable with the county in order to proceed.
Yeah, regional and town goals will all be discussed.
Right.
But the public engagement's the longest period, and they will take care of all that. So dealing with your citizenry. So.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so let's go ahead and go to agenda item number 3. Possible action for small subdivision application from Geneva Rock for parcel number 09-6276.
Can I ask one more question on that, Scott?
Sure.
So if we get $150,000, can we spend that how we want to?
No.
Or does MAG tell us?
So you're getting a third of that because there's 3 towns that are.
Oh, okay.
So Hennifer, Charleston, and Daniel all applied jointly.
I misunderstood. I thought all 3 of us got 150.
So
we get a third of that.
150 combined. Yeah,
can we spend that how we want, or do we get?
You have to spend it on the general plan project.
Yeah, sure. But do we have to go with your consultant, or can we get our own?
You go through the consultant that is chosen by MAG.
Okay.
Yeah. So, unfortunately.
You can't get any pair of shoes.
No, I didn't want that, but I know someone that we could hire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
sitting right over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I'm looking for on agenda item number 3, for agenda item number 3, I'm looking for a motion to continue that. Geneva was asked to produce some documents, and they have not produced those documents.
So move.
And so,
second.
Yep. So, call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Lottie, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay, I'm going to do the same thing on agenda item number 4, possible action for the conditional use application from Geneva Rock for parcel number 09-6276. And I'll call for a motion.
Motion to continue.
Okay.
I second it.
Okay, call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Water, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay, agenda item number 5, possible action on the Melanie North / Megan Phillips lot of record application. And if you guys remember in our last meeting, I said we wanted to look at that for about 6 months. And so I've had a meeting with Gary. We're in the process of looking at a few things to do that. And so tonight I'm looking for a motion to continue on that item also.
Go ahead.
Go for it.
Make a motion to continue item 5 on the agenda.
Second.
Okay, call for a vote.
Walton, yes.
Butter, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay, let's go to agenda item number 6 then, which is council report. And I'll start with you, Robin, this evening.
I attended the interlocal meeting 2 weeks ago. And the majority of the topic of conversation centered around the bypass plan. And UDOT has made some significant inroads in terms of narrowing down the possibilities of what that's going to start looking like. And so obviously there was a big contingency of people from Heber City who ended up dominating most of the meeting. And then the county weighed in heavily, and towards the end of the discussion, I asked if any concerns or action had been taken regarding the concerns that were expressed by Daniel Town in regards to the options that were being presented. One continues to have a complete abandonment of Highway 40, 289, from the intersection of 3000 on up to Heber City's intersection. And so I said, I think it's important that we get some attention to this matter. And so I talked with one of their staffers, and they totally agreed and said that they would be willing to set up an agenda item on our town council meeting to come in and give us a complete update of what's going on, not only with that, but their interactions with the airport and everything else there. Have they called you yet to set that up?
No.
So I gave them your phone number, and I told them that they needed to call you and set that meeting, and I'm a little bit irritated that they haven't done that. So I will follow through. I took a business card and have her call you and set that up, because it just is going to impact us in such a crazy way. And then the point I made was, I said, you're putting so much emphasis on the north-south flow of traffic, but you're not putting any emphasis on the east-west. That is the traffic going from Utah County or up Provo Canyon heading to the basin. I said, I have been to 3 of these meetings now, and if I don't bring it up, nobody discusses it. It's like and I said, you know what's going to happen as soon as if you start pushing the traffic back to the north so that they can bend back to the south, you know everybody's going to take the path of least resistance, which already is going through Daniel. And I said, even on Google Earth, it shows the fastest way to get up to Highway 40 is right through our town. And I said, that is unacceptable. And I said, you cannot continue to move forward like this, abandoning the unintended consequences of funneling traffic at our expense. And so, interestingly enough, that brought out some very passionate comments on behalf of the mayor of Heber City and members of the county council. Well, gosh, we never even thought of that. And then even the mayor says, well, I Googled that, and sure enough, the fastest way to get. And I said, well, now you see why we're concerned and why this can't continue on in absentia of having discussions about the east-west flow. And that's when I said that we need to have you come and present what you're going to do to either mitigate that or deal with those issues. And so I'm really shocked that they haven't got with you, because this is moving forward rather rapidly. In fact, they think sometime towards the end of fall they'll be ready to recommend the final final alignment as it relates to this, you know, this bypass. And so.
So, Robert, tell me point A and point B where the diversion was on Highway 40.
Wait. Well, what their plan is to divert as you, they're going to move up, obviously, 29 until you get about on the east side of, well, actually the road that divides the sewer farm right in two, and that's where they're going to move most two of the plans plan on diverting that traffic out around to the north and then bringing it back in
to 40 on North 40.
Yes,
and out past the bowling alley. Yeah.
Exactly, and then coming out through there, and but they had a. They didn't give us maps. I asked for one, but they didn't give me one. And it's down to five, probably four viable, realistic options. But the things that concern us the most, obviously, is the complete abandonment of the highway, so that there's only one way we get into town, and it is, or whatever, and it isn't heading up the highway, and that's going to create a huge dilemma for us, and it's going to throw traffic on 3000 South.
Yeah, because at one point in time, it was going to, I don't know how much to the west, but there was big talk that it was going to parallel Southfield Road. But now we got high school built there, and so it'll have to be further west.
That's created a new dilemma for them, yeah. Obviously. Once that high school site was chosen, that's going to create some additional problems. But religiously, Heber's mayor is just falling in love for some reason with everybody out in the north fields to protect and not and make sure that there's a, you know, minimum damage out there. But
yeah, they've
taken
that.
And then they talked about the actual abandonment of Main Street and turning that road over to Heber City, so that it's not a state road, so that Heber City then would have full control over what. How they want to do that, which would include islands and other kinds of things, which would buffer the traffic. But a lot of discussion was that if you make it so complex to use the bypass road, people will continue to just use, you know, the existing roads, and so the whole purpose of the bypass would be defeated anyway. But I really want this town council to be able to hear. From the voices of the people of UDOT, what these plans are and how they affect us, and we've got to make sure that we weigh in. And at one point in time, I recall that we were going to verbally write a letter to UDOT, basically from the last meeting that we had with them. There were some concerns that came up in that meeting, and we were going to verbalize those. Did that ever happen? Did we ever? Write a letter to them.
So we didn't write a letter to them, but I had UDOT in the town office about 6 months ago. Me and Eric, and we had them in there. Well, it was July, so it would have been July of last year, so it's about 6 months ago. And we verbalized many things with them. And
I can tell you, verbalizing it until you put it in writing.
No. Will
you can't they can just say, oh yeah, it's yeah. Right over there.
I'll make sure that I write a letter to them.
Well, I think a good time to write that letter would be right after we hold this meeting with them, so
okay.
That it's fresh in their mind, and then we basically express our concerns in a very forceful way, so we're on record.
Yeah. I'll be looking at that.
Okay.
I'm waiting for their call.
Okay.
The last meeting, I remember talking about how we choose the area that we're going to study and ignore everything outside of that.
Yeah.
And then I was looking at their environmental, I think it was environmental impact statement or something, that basically said that we will consult with all of the cities and towns that are within this study area. Well, they messed up because they put Daniel, the corner of Daniel, in that study area. So based on that, they should actually have to talk to us.
Yeah.
Well,
so
I can guarantee
if they give you any trouble,
if I hadn't said what I said, we'd still be sitting here fat, dumb, and happy, thinking everything was fine, and it's not. And so I will call their office tomorrow and remind them that they, there were two staffers sitting right next to me, and I remind them that they have committed to quickly get on the town council agenda, and so.
Well, one other thing too, while we're talking about this, if you'll go to, if you'll get on Google and just, you know, I'm not a scroller, but I started scrolling on it the other night. About five down, there was four maps that UDOT had put. That Park City News Company that is at all the meetings and everything, they had been to a meeting, and they had four maps on there. And I just kind of opened that up and read through it, and you know, kind of to see what they were thinking. So if you want a little bit more information, you can get on that and see that too. And you'll know that I'm not a Googler, because I struggled to find that.
There is another item that I'd like to bring to the council members' attention. We've had a number of members of the community come in and talk about CMC Rock. And I guess everybody measures things based on how they want it to look instead of how it really is. But we had a representation in the previous meeting that the berm around CMC Rock was only 4 feet tall. Well, somebody's tape measure is broken, because I went out there and I got out, walked around that berm, and I could not see over it, and it was at least probably a foot to 2 feet over my head. So if you've got in your mind that somehow there's only a 4 foot berm out there, that's probably a misrepresentation. Also, I remember somebody telling us the trees were this tall.
Yeah.
And if you go out there, and again, the trees were all taller than I am. I think the choice of trees was very, very poorly chosen. They're skinny pines. Looks like half of them are withering and dying. And I don't believe there's just going to be anything other than just a check of a box that those trees are going to do anything more for us than just die. So I just wanted to have that cleared up, because those trees are not this tall, and the berm is significantly higher than 4 feet. So I just wanted to make sure that we were getting accurate information, and not just somebody's whimsical view of things.
So you'll remember in that same meeting, I was asked to get a hold of Todd Cusick and invite
yes.
him to come to the town. In December, he had an operation. And then in January he had another one, and he asked that if I would hold off and not put him on the town agenda until March.
Correct.
And so I'll give Todd a call this week and see how he's doing, and based on what he tells me, we could possibly put him on the March or April
sure.
agenda.
Well, I think
he's more than happy to come and talk to us.
Of course. I think it's important that we get the facts right. And obviously, you know, with as much moisture as we've had, it's hard to discern fugitive dust and how it's leaving the property or whatever. But I have had personal experiences where I'd like to have him address that, you know, what they're doing to crush all of that concrete down there. And if they're spraying it in advance, whatever they're doing. But I think he needs to know that his neighbors don't seem to be happy. Now, whether that's fact or fiction, I don't know. But slamming tailgates or starting at 4 o'clock in the morning, I guess. And I guess he has addressed some of the concerns that some of the neighbors have had. But I'd really like to bring him back as a way to go after the fact and say, okay, fact or fiction, but we've had our room full of people coming here expressing concerns about your project, which I think is important, because as we move forward, whether we permit another project down there or not, I just don't think we can in good conscience move forward until we've at least dealt with the project that we currently have.
Okay.
That's all I have.
I'm gonna take just a couple minutes and just talk about CMC real quick. So on this report where we have some complaints, I happen to know quite a little bit about what's been going on down there, and Mark Lloyd, who is one of the individuals who filed a complaint, he called the EPA on them, the state of Utah, and Mark must have had a friend down there, because the same day that Mark called, the EPA showed up. They shut down CMC and their little crushing on the side and investigated it, and Todd had a permit from Wasatch County to crush. He was legal that way. The state of Utah, EPA, went completely through their operation and what they were doing, and I have a report from the EPA that gave CMC a green light, and I'm more than willing to produce that report to anybody that wants to see it. And so I'm sure that'll be addressed when Todd comes. He's probably one of the only ones that has a permit to crush in the county, I'm assuming. But it was issued by Wasatch County, because that's the site that they were crushing on. And so I'm just updating you on a few things that I know about. And I've been involved quite extensively about this, and I've had multiple phone calls from multiple people, and I've been in the area a lot. But anyway, Robin, thank you for all you do. Appreciate your time and going to these meetings. Eric, what about you?
First of all, thank you for defending us with UDOT. That's not going to be an easy thing. Eric, do you know any more about this disaster mitigation committee, like when they have meetings or anything? So
they're going to meet twice a month.
Yeah.
And get this up and running, and then there, once it's up and running, then they'll involve everybody else on there, but this will be a steering committee that you've been asked to sit on.
They'll just let me know at some point.
You'll be getting direct emails right from Shauna.
Okay.
And she's really good about communicating, so you'll be right in on that.
Okay. That's all I've got.
Okay. Thanks, Mayor. I don't have anything. Well, actually, I'm gonna choose to address the situation right here. So this evening, about 10 minutes after 5, I got a phone call from our secretary. She had fallen in the Walmart parking lot and hit her head and was on the way to the ER. And so as you show up tonight, I probably should have addressed this a little bit earlier, but Kim's not here with us tonight, that's obvious. And so we're kind of shooting from the hip, so to speak, a little bit on what we're doing tonight. And her father called me and told me that he was with her and was taking her over to the ER. She had called him, and so that's why Kim's not here with us tonight. But I'll just kind of leave it at that, and that should answer what's kind of going on tonight. And then if does anybody have any questions regarding that, I'll answer the questions if you want to ask any questions.
I was concerned that the agenda wasn't on the website, or that we had any paperwork ahead of time, or yep, you know, minutes from last month and those kinds of things that are getting missed.
Yep. So the agenda was on the state public notice website. Unfortunately, it did not make it to the Town of Daniel website, but it didn't need to be on the Town of Daniel website, because we had publicly noticed it properly through the state public website. And so that's why we held the meeting tonight. The other issues I'll address at another time.
Okay.
So
you may want to address the ad we put in the paper.
It didn't go in the paper.
The one you authorized to go in the paper.
I just, so you guys are aware, I did authorize putting an ad in the paper. We have three open positions on our Board of Appeals. I authorized that to go into the paper last week. Three positions on the Board of Appeals and one position for a deputy clerk slash recorder. It's open till February the 28th because we'll have that on the next either March or April's agenda, depending on how many applications we get. And we'll be able to make some decisions and have another conversation about that down the road. But I pretty much, well, it shouldn't be news to any of you guys because I talked to you a little bit about that previously on what we were thinking about doing.
So in that, did it state the process to apply for those positions?
It did.
Just a letter of intent?
A letter of intent.
Okay.
A letter of interest, a letter of intent to the town office or on the town website. And they could take the letter to the town office. So that's where we're at.
How else could we post those openings? Because I don't even read the paper.
Well, we could post them on our website, which we've asked for those to be posted on the Town of Daniel website.
Okay.
And we'll
spread the word.
We'll spread the word. I would think if you know of anybody that, you know, it doesn't hurt to just say, hey, we've got a couple of positions open in the Town of Daniel if you're interested. Feel free to fill out a letter of intent. So, and like I say, that's open till February 28th. So.
Do all those positions have to be current residents?
Yes.
Hurry and move.
Trying.
Hey, Megan, yours was agenda item number 5, and we just continued that so that you're aware that. We talked about that a little bit earlier. There was really no discussion because it was continued next month. Okay. And you kind of know where we're at on that. So, okay, Johnny, anything from you?
Not that hasn't been covered.
Okay, Gary.
Just a question back with the CMC on the report that the EPA done, the state done.
Okay.
Would it help if that was posted in the paper for the public to see? It's a matter of public record.
So it's
to see that they are in compliance according to the state regulations.
Yep. It would definitely be beneficial.
Something would help.
It should be on the website. I don't know that it is, but I'll make sure that it gets on there.
Okay. On the website?
On our town.
That would be inappropriate.
What up?
It's in the county. Things in the county. That report's available on the EPA website if somebody wants to go see it.
Well, yeah. I'm just either print the report, it's public information.
And the report belongs to CMC, it doesn't belong to us.
It would be inappropriate for us to hang that on our website.
Just so you guys know.
Just my opinion.
Yeah.
You do what you want, I'll have a vote.
Well, that's why you're here, to keep the mayor in check so he doesn't get sued. But we do have a folder down in the town office. I had Kim start a folder down there that has this information in it so that if somebody were to come into the town office and ask about it, then she has the information.
Well, and that doesn't address all the complaints anyway. It just means they were in compliance with air quality that one day. And that's
sure.
It,
so. Well, yeah, but it at least shows that there's an effort been made. Complaints have been filed, and they've been followed up on, and that's the finding of the state.
Correct.
That's all I'm saying.
You know. Yep. Anything else, Gary?
No.
Okay, let's go to agenda item number 7 then, planning report and update. You have a planning report in front of you. If you have any questions or any concerns, Eric will answer those. There's quite a bit going on in the town, as you can see.
am curious, Eric. In the case of an Airbnb, do we do a cease and desist on their property when we find that they're in violation of our ordinance? What do we do? Do we just continue to allow them to continue to just throw kind of thumb their nose at us, or what?
As soon as this board decides there's enough evidence, then you would want to get the attorney involved, and that's exactly what they do.
Okay, so I, in conversation with some people that my wife and I served with on our mission, they said, we just happened to cross paths with them, and they said, oh, we were just up in Daniel over a couple of weeks ago. I said, serious, up in Daniel? Yeah, we had a big family reunion. And I said, approximately how many people? Oh, there had to be 40, 45 people. And I said, tell me where this property was. And it was, I think the property we've all been talking about. And I said, how did you know about that property? He said, well, we saw it on the website, on their website. And I said, so you paid them money to lease the property for it? Oh, it was wonderful. They had pickleball courts and blah, 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 and on and on. We just, oh, it was such a great time. I said, well, okay. I think we've got kind of quite a bit of evidence, and I could even invite that family, if you wanted, to phone you and tell them exactly how they got access to that property, and et cetera, et cetera. But I just don't want us to leave it like somehow they've been absolved somehow of or thinking that they pulled the wool over all of our eyes.
So the state has said website advertisement is not evidence. So you cannot use an advertisement on the website as
okay,
evidence.
Okay, great. Because maybe nobody, maybe they didn't lease it. I can get the Dershes to come in and testify to you from point blank and show them a check that basically was paid for those services. They led us to believe they were only doing this to family and friends and blah, blah, blah. Not so.
So before you go down that road very far, in front of the legislature this year is a bill addressing this very issue, and it makes them illegal. They will be in violation of state code, not city code, state code, if they're not licensed with the municipality they're in. That will become a state violation.
That already is a state violation.
Well, they're taxing us, but this is the legislature doing a bill.
Last year, just like they have to have a business license. They have to, have a tax code. But the bill this year says that you can use the Airbnb website as evidence. It can't be the only evidence, but if you have that, you can then notify that Airbnb website, and they have to pull it off of the website within 7 days. So I hope the bill passes. That would solve a lot of issues.
Well, yeah. Solid, but they have no business license. We know people have been there, and I don't know. I really would like to just hammer this home so that there isn't an impression that somehow they left us with a favorable impression, because they certainly didn't.
So can I throw out just one other thing?
Sure.
As we're discussing.
Throw it out.
If we're going to let it happen, then we might as well make it legal, but put a city tax on it.
Exactly.
That happens all over the place.
And a transient room tax on it.
There are 15-20% taxes on these kinds of things, and they have to register and get a business license and all that.
There are more issues than just that, though. That house, you have 40, 50 people there. Septic tank was not built for that. Their well water line is not for that.
Right.
They don't have fire sprinklers. There are a whole bunch of other things,
and Gary,
that really need to happen.
Well, how could you jeopardize that? The lives of the people that are there with the flow of traffic that the Rose is going through at high speeds? I mean, I wouldn't even want my children to be there. I mean, it's just...
Well, think about the people that live along the road that probably have people that have been partying and drinking alcohol coming back down or causing, there are issues.
Well, all I'm saying is I don't want this to just slip and slide. I really don't. I think we need to move forward.
If the legislature does pass that bill, it'll make things a lot easier.
Easy for us.
Yeah, for us.
State prosecutor will handle that.
Didn't we talk one time that it would be a bad idea for one of us to try to rent it?
How much money do you want to spend?
Yeah, but I thought we decided that wasn't a good idea.
Yeah, we had talked to the attorney and they advised us not to do that.
Okay.
It looks like entrapment.
Yeah, or something, huh?
Yeah.
I'll just say one thing, but in the planning commission meeting, he basically stood up and said he was Airbnb-ing it himself, yeah. Right in the planning commission meeting. Yeah. So
on the recording.
He's on the recording of that. So we'll work towards what you're saying, Rob.
He's also on the recording in this meeting a month ago saying he wasn't.
20 times.
Yeah, 20 times.
But we have him saying he was. So. Yeah, so. All right. Any other questions on the planning report?
I got a couple of questions. Number one is, it says Cody Coleman, addition to the residence. Is it Cody or is it Scott? Yeah. So that should be Scott.
That's Scott Coleman's house, not Cody's. Cody's is next door.
Okay.
And then the next one was, let's see, I marked it here. Let me find it. The will serve letter on 2896 South Highway 40.
Yes.
And so where does that access on our, are we talking water, Colonel Water?
Yes.
And where did they pick that up at?
It's on the other side of the highway.
Twin Creeks.
Okay, but we're not involved in the will serve letter.
No.
Okay.
That's well, we are. We're not giving them a until we have it.
Right, but we're going to give them that permit even though it's out of our town.
It's in our town.
It is in the town, on Highway 40.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
They have to. They are going to have to bore underneath the highway to tap into the sewer and the water on the Twin Creek side.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're right next to Ed Houston's.
In fact, it's already bored underneath. Neat Five Trinell ran down.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Where our Connery line ends and starts there. I know.
So ours is clear on Mill Road.
We don't have one.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say. We're down Mill Road.
You'll see he's pulled some equipment in there. They've started.
Okay,
they've started.
Okay, I know what you're talking about.
They've started leveling some ground.
I just was confused why we've got this as we're doing the will serve letter. I thought Twin Creeks would be doing that.
So we've been waiting on that will serve letter. Was part of that Daniel Irrigation new class that they can actually turn over to M&I Water and trade into Twin Creeks for drinking water.
Oh, okay.
So that's what
that's part of that. Then.
That's that whole. Before now, they haven't been able to use Daniel water for M&I water, and so it actually had a federal lien on it.
Because we restricted it remained in our boundary. Is that correct?
No, they're private. They can do what they want.
No, I mean for our water, the Daniel water.
No, we could move water there too.
We can move it outside the system.
Yes.
We can?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You can point a diversion, right?
Correct.
Just point a diversion.
Okay.
They just change the point of diversion. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we was waiting on that will serve letter to go through that process so they could trade that water in and get their will serve letter. And they have that. We have that now. So at this point, we're waiting on their fees and the permit will be issued. They've crossed everything else off their list.
Okay. And then the other one was the Ryan Simpson, that's his building he's building there. Is this the second extension that we've given him?
No, it's still the same.
It's still the same one? Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, it just shows up on here so it doesn't get lost.
Okay.
Same thing with the Steiners.
Okay, so I was wondering.
So I got a question. Where did we leave the Airbnb thing? Is there any items of action or or anything? It seems like we just kind of left it.
I kind of felt like the, based on the discussion we were having, we wanted to see what the state legislature passed.
When will that happen? Do we know?
When is the session? March?
March. March something.
Everything usually goes into effect July.
Yeah, so are we waiting until July?
Well, unless the bill doesn't pass, which you never know.
Yeah.
Then if the,
but you'll know if the bill passes by March, first part of March.
Yeah.
And then
so we're in a holding pattern till March.
I would say that we look and see what happens there, and then we.
A lot of money.
Yeah. Keep a watchful eye out, but yeah, I wouldn't do anything.
Okay.
Don't be too right.
Oh.
Write your legislator. Don't be passive.
I say that that's probably what we ought to do is look at that and then decide in March and move forward. If we need to have the attorneys write a letter, then we have the attorneys write a letter and go from there.
Yeah.
They probably get tired of just hearing from me. Go ahead.
Well, Kurt, say there ought to be some punitive damages as a result of what's happened and our knowledge and understanding of what's happened. And I just think they're just going to continue to do what they want to do. And I'd rather see us take at least some more progressive action. But I'm not sure the bill is going to give us any more teeth than what we've already got in terms of.
It sounds like it will, though.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's move on to agenda item number 8, Storm Haven and Daniel Water Systems. Eric, go ahead and update us on that.
Doggone it, we almost made it through winter without a freeze up, but it got warm and it drove the frost down. We had some people freeze up. So up on the Storm Haven system, we have a temporary water run across the top of the ground to feed the house because it just, a lot of those meters are in the driveway, they drive on it, and then it warmed up, and as it warms up, drives that frost down, and it froze their line. So he's actually going to dig it up. He actually hired a Clint, what's Clint's last name, Gary? Allen, Clint Allen.
Oh, Clint Allen,
He has a little machine that pushes
steam unit.
Oh, wow.
Pushes a little hose up the thing, and he can't get through it. There's
he
a transition from plastic to metal, and it stops there, and he can't get through it. So that's why the hose is on top, so they can flush the toilet. But it's just that time of year, doggone it.
And we had
no snow cover.
Yeah.
Stuff.
Had a couple of near misses within the Daniels system.
Yeah.
Got taken care of. Oh, yeah, and that was the question I was bringing up. Is I wanted to verify what the note was in with the water bill that said, please do not run water. And so that's what it did say. But in the past, we have told customers that, especially in a winter like this, but if you felt like that you needed to run a little bit of water, you can, it's capable of running a trickle of water to stop a freeze up and not go over your 20,000 gallons.
It is possible.
Yeah.
But as soon as we tell them they can run water.
Well, yeah, they may turn it on full bore, but they're going to pay the bill, is what I'm saying.
That's why it says that. Yeah, don't run your water. If you choose to do that, you will get a bill.
Yeah, but I just wondered if that needed to have a little clarification, because there was a couple on 3000 South that had started to freeze, and they put heaters in the can.
Do not park your car over the can, or you're going to freeze.
Well, it just about anywhere with this type of year, it's going to. Yeah. The frost is at about 8 inches in the ground in the main part of the town of Daniel. And
if you park the car on top, it doesn't get any sun during the day.
Well, but like Eric said, if you drive over it and drive over it and drive over it goes down. But what was ironic, and I was there when they was digging, is that where there was 2 inches of snow on the ground, the frost was about an inch to inch and a half, 2 inches at the most in the ground versus 8 to a foot. So a little snow cover is a big, big, big help.
Yeah.
Well, and now no snow cover and the water, the soil saturated, it's going to go down.
Yeah.
If it gets cold again.
Yeah. Keep going. But everything's running good on both systems. We got the chlorine. We're getting all of our samples back. Everything's doing good on it. There was a story that went out about fluoride. Legislature has a bill out this year to make it illegal to add fluoride to drinking water.
Illegal?
Illegal in the state of Utah. So I know we had some customers write in and say, hey, have you seen this story? It's like, yeah, but we don't do fluoride. So I think they got mixed up with chlorine and fluoride.
That's what I was going to
say. So anyway, that was cleared up okay. We did the lead and copper in Storm Haven. It came back, everything below the level. So we're looking good up there. We're going to have to, they're going to require us to do 10% on all these laterals. We're going to have to expose them or get the people to fill out the questionnaire. I think we had 5 come back out of all the ones that we sent out. So
Might pay to send a little reminder out to have them fill those out.
Yeah,
some of them probably just tossed them.
I'm sure.
There was a number of people who didn't understand what we were even talking.
There was a number of people who said, I don't have any copper. I know all my pipes are plastic.
Yeah.
And so they just didn't send it.
So how much is it going to cost us if we have to take them off?
It would cost us quite a bit
of money.
So do you want to, maybe you add a financial incentive to send it in?
I thought that was a great idea. When we was at a training, the city of Sandy gave them a $20 gift card to some stores in their town. If they would return that, they would give them that $20. And I was just like, what about a $20
fine
off your bill?
Or yeah.
Or even five. I mean,
something to get something coming back. But because when you think about it, by the time I go out there a few times, you're way past $20.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought that was a cheaper option to go rather than have us out beating on doors. I don't know what your time's worth, but Monday night football is much better than pounding on doors.
Monday night football, you're not going to get an answer anyway.
Well, if you got popcorn, you can get it.
Eric, tell us about the heaters in the pump house. They're working great. Just tell us. We replaced those. And
we replaced the big main one, and then we still have 2 small backup 1,500 watts on each side. So you got 10,000 BTU, and then you have 1,500 watt backup set at different stages. So we've maintained, I think the coldest I've been is 42 through this whole winter. We're usually about 56. So as it warms up, the auxiliary shut off.
Okay. Thank you.
Well, the one overhead's still on thermostat, right?
They're all on thermostat.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
I mean, but the overhead one is on the thermostat that's on the starter that runs. They just plugged another heater in with that one where it was replaced, because that was already on a thermostat that run the contactor.
Yeah, they're all on thermostat.
Okay.
Yep. Okay, thank you. Agenda item number 9, recorder's office, warrants approval and announcements and etc. So on agenda item number 9, I'm looking for a motion tonight that we approve the warrants so that we can at least get the warrants paid this month. And then we'll give you a copy of what we pay. So I'm calling for a motion.
Have you looked at them and stuff? Are you good with it?
I've seen the majority of them. I haven't seen all of them yet. Okay. And I'm good with everything that's on there. I feel good about that. I want to stay current with our bills.
Yeah.
I don't want to get the reputation of being a slow payer or a no payer. So
what's our time limit on that?
On
to pay the warrants.
Well, so we'll approve them tonight. I'll get with Kim tonight or tomorrow, see where she's at. And typically we roll them about every 3 days or 3 days after this meeting.
Okay.
They come to Sherry. Sometimes it's a little bit longer than that.
Yeah.
But we submit everything to Sherry. Sherry cuts the checks, signs them. Kim picks them up, brings them to the office. I meet her in the office and I sign those. That typically runs 3 to 4 days, five, you know.
So the ones that you haven't seen, is there anything special other than the routine bills we've been paying? It's just straightforward.
Straightforward.
Motion to approve the warrants.
Okay.
Second.
Okay. Call for a vote.
Blotter, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Okay, the minutes, agenda item number 10. We're obviously going to have to continue those to next month. So I'll call for a motion on agenda item number 10.
Motion to continue.
Okay. Call second. For a second. Okay, second. Call for a vote.
Bolton, yes.
Blotter, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Pearson, yes.
Okay. I don't see any closed session this evening, so I'll call for a motion on agenda item number 12.
Make so move.
Okay, call for a vote.
Bolton, yes.
Blotter, yes.
Kohler, yes.
Bennett, yes.
Okay, thank you guys.